I'm not Allie Graney. I've got a few years on her. So I'm the backup plan. So I'm the, you know, second choice. But yeah, so I found out on Tuesday night that we couldn't do the live feed. So so you have me instead. Whoops. And it's really neat because I think that God has already laid on my heart his story, and it's a story of unfailing love, which was what Ellie was going to be bringing, and I'm going to be bringing the same message, but a different message. And I've called it, actually, I've subtitled it, The Father's Unfailing Love, because that is what he is really showing me. And I'm just going to pray, God, I just need your help today to deliver this message that is straight from your heart. God, that our hearts would hear your heart this morning. And I thank you for every single mother. I thank you for every single woman that you've designed to be mothers, to be nurturing. I thank you, Lord God, for your precious woman in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. It's great to honor the mums. And, you know, today we celebrate Mother's Day, don't we? It's something that we do in New Zealand. I suppose they do it in other places. But like many of you are mums, you might be grandmas. Some of you are about to become mothers. And some of us have lost mothers. But all of us have had a mum of some kind, of some description, at some part of our lives, because even if it's not our birth mother, we, you know, often have someone that will take us under their wing and really nurture us like a mum. The one thing that's most important is that we know who our Heavenly Father is. And that's really my message today. I'm going to bring my story, part of my story, and hope that I can keep it together. And it's like a bit of a tapestry that I'm going to weave for you today. So be patient and hope that it really speaks to you. So our Heavenly Father and his unfailing love is for each of us, and that you get a grasp of that today. So even though we're celebrating Mother's Day, it's actually about the Father's love. So my upbringing was very much Kiwi. If you think of Kiwiana, that was kind of the era I was brought up in, the 1960s and the 1970s. Oh, I still was brought up after that, but, you know, like my childhood. And, you know, mum, dad, the three kids. And, you know, our parents really loved us, but they never had their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ and with their father. So they never knew really the Father's love. So what I perceived, but was not necessarily true, was a need to succeed and to be someone, because I never kind of perceived really the true love of God in my childhood. So through my childhood eyes and mind, there was a sense I was somehow a disappointment to my father. I thought to get my father's love, I really had to prove myself. This sadly meant that my inner world became very insecure. And probably many of you can relate with that, that insecurity that you feel, but you don't know quite where that's come from. It's come from really not knowing the Father heart of God. So to fulfill the insecurity inside, I went on a quest for love quite young, as a teenager. So, you know, I went on a quest with guys and substance abuse, eating disorders. I tried to attain success in a worldly sense, and really pursued the whole career path and earning lots of money. But all these things could not give me the deep security that is actually only found in one person, So as many of you already know, it took a major car crash in the middle of the Australian outback to turn my life back into the direction that God had intended for me. And through the weeks of convalescing, God began to reveal his incredible love. So, you know, I turned right away from God and I was doing my own thing and pursuing my own direction, and I wasn't really intent upon anything about God. And he was sending me little messages along the way to try and get my attention, but I was keeping a deaf ear to him because I was on my own personal journey. So even upon receiving the devastating news after the crash that I might never be able to walk again or move again like I'd been used to, and being so alone and so far away from home and family and friends, it only exaggerated the fact that God, my Father, had not forgotten me. And you think, well, how can that be when you're so alone, you've been given this terrible news, and yet you are talking about God's love? But he did. He met me in that place. Through a lot of situations and circumstances, he met me. So how does one being alone show that God had not forgotten me? You know, who sometimes feels like, you don't have to put up your hand, but you know, sometimes you think, God's forgotten me. I am, you know, I am alone. I am not, God's not interested in me. Nothing's going right. You know, it happens many times of our lives, even as Christians, it happens. But God will use the most awful of situations to reveal his infinite and unfailing love to us if we allow him to. That's the big thing, if we allow him to. Because we can continue to ignore him and continue to resist him. And as I was praying for this morning, I was saying, God, you know, what is the word that you want me to bring for your people? And he kept laying on my heart Psalm 91. And I read it and read it and read it. But this particular part of Psalm 91, which is at the beginning, I felt he wanted me to share with you. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I will declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. So this word safety just jumped out at me, because this word safety also means security. When we live close enough to be in his shadow, he will hold us near and he'll shelter us even when bad things are happening, even when we're having a difficult time. Our inner world can be totally safe and secure in his love. And this is, you know, I've been on this journey for a long time, and it's really hard to sometimes get a glimpse or get an understanding of what that is. But it's true. So this was just the beginning of a journey that has actually spanned 35 years. I won't tell you how old I am, but you can probably guess. And I'm still discovering that knowing God as my Father is the only way I can have true security. God loves me as much as he loves his son, Jesus Christ. And that is actually true for each of you as well. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 23. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. That's Jesus saying that you love them as much as you love me. That the Father, as much as he loves Jesus, that's how much he loves you. The way God planned and cared for Jesus' life is the way he will for you and for me. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, think that, is that really true? When you look back at your life and you think, but, you know, that hasn't been so good for me. Did God really plan that? Well, God had planned exactly where Jesus was to be born. He had to be born in a stable. I couldn't think of a yuckier place to be born, amongst animals and all the, you know, yucky stuff in there that animals do. And yet, I mean, when I think, you know, having giving birth to my children, I want to be in a nice, clean hospital room or my home, which is clean and nice, and, you know, give birth with my husband beside me, sleeping, possibly. But, you know, I mean, I want to have my baby in a nice place. And yet Mary had her baby in a stable, but God planned it that way. I think, really? Did God get that right? Do you sometimes question why you were born in that place or to that family? I mean, you know, my parents didn't really know God, and yet I was born into that family. God had a reason why Jesus was raised in Nazareth and why he chose the parents he did. I just, you know, it's hard to get a hold of that, isn't it? But that's true. God determined the person I am because of the plan he has for my life. And when you understand that underlying all of this is God's unfailing love, then it will bring a deep rest and a sense of security in your life. But God doesn't give us a map of our whole future. It'd be great if he did. You could actually see, like, where we're going to go. He wants us to learn to follow him and just to rely on him. And it's a day by day, just as we submit our wills to his and we trust him, then he fulfills his plan for our lives. We sometimes think we have to be like doing this great, amazing thing out there, but it's just an unfolding day by day, yielding to him. I've got this map here. I'm going to get Joshua to open it up for me and show you. This is a really important map. I don't know if you can recognize it, but it's actually Wellington Harbour. It's a navigation map. And Josh and I are learning how to sail because we bought a catamaran and we're completely insane. And I was told that it would not go fast, and by Joshua, of course. And every person we say, you know, we bought a catamaran, and they go, oh, they go so fast. What did you buy that for? And, you know, so it's because when we're out on it and we're going whizzing on the water, I squeal and Joshua gets lots of fun out of that. So that's actually why we brought it. And so we're learning how to sail. We've been out three times. It takes us, you know, 2 hours to rig the thing and we get half an hour on the water. But, you know, that's all good. It's, you know, part of it. So the reason why we have a navigation map is that people like us who have never sailed before and don't know a thing about sailing, we have to hug the coastline along here because if we capsize or we actually can't get back to shore, Joshua can jump out and push us. So, you know, but the reason is it's safe. It's safer for us just to stay around the coastline. And, you know, when we get a little bit more experienced, we can come out here. And our next goal is that we're going to go right across here and across to Day's Bay and have a coffee. That's my reward for staying with him on this crazy machine. And, you know, eventually we might, you know, come out here and travel, go around here and get a bigger boat and, you know, come out here one day, maybe. Anyway, we're learning. So that's a map. Thanks, honey. You're a great mapper holder person. So when we go out deeper and when we capsize, hopefully not, it doesn't mean that we weren't meant to go out there. It doesn't mean we weren't meant to go out there. How will you get that? Because it's part of learning and growing, and it's the same with God in our lives. You know, he has a plan for us. He has a map, and his unfailing love is with us. And as we learn about his unfailing love, we can learn to trust him more to go out into the deep waters. And, yeah, do things go wrong? Of course. Do things happen? Does stuff happen? Yes, it does. But it doesn't mean we weren't meant to be there. It's just part of us growing and learning. So I want to just talk a little bit about last year, because this last year has been an unfolding of how much God loves us, how much he loves us. When my father was diagnosed with cancer at the end of 2013, I never realized that God was going to take me on a discovery of his love. It involved deep pain, incredible joy, and an insight into the Father heart of God. As most of you know, a good proportion of last year was spent traveling back and forth to Tauranga to nurse him and care for him. When May came around last year, our dreamed for and longed for sabbatical that we were so hanging out for, you know, having 2 months away overseas, this became to be a bit of a question for us. And with the uncertainty of leaving my dad alone for that long and being also so far from home, it was really hanging in the balance of what to do. You know, should we cancel it? And to be honest, I didn't want to give up that trip. I really didn't want to give it up. I was like, I so want to go away. And I want to go and see my son in Germany. And I didn't want to give it up. But in a time of desperate prayer, who has those desperate prayers? It's like, God. And I was down the beach at Pavmoa Beach near my dad's house. And I said, God, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, do you want me to give up this trip? And do I give this trip up for my dad? Is this what you want? I give this trip up for my dad. And I'm down the beach and I'm like, you know, having this kind of battle as we do when we really want something, but we kind of feel like we know that we shouldn't, you know, we should yield it, give it up. And I heard just a gentle whisper. Was so clear, and he just said, will you do it for me? And I was like, shall I give it up for my dad? And my father, my heavenly father, was saying, will you give it up for me? Will you do it for me? And in that moment, it was like, okay, Lord, I'll do it for you. And you think, well, why wouldn't I do it for my dad? And it's because of that rejection that I carried in myself and insecurity that, you know, I perceived that I was a disappointment to my father, and, you know, to give up something and to do this when I was feeling so much rejection. But when God asks you to do something, that's the best thing. And this morning, I was just praying, and the Holy Spirit laid on my heart James 3:17. And in that verse, it talks about yielding to God and giving up. And, you know, I really feel that this is a word for someone today, because you've been resisting God in an area. You're fighting him on something, and he's saying, will you give it up? Will you yield that to me? I've got a greater plan. So what could I say to God? But yes, Lord, I'll do it for you. In Matthew 26, I'm just going to grab my Bible. This is the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's having a bit of a struggle with his father, because his father's asking him to do something. And he says in verse 39, my father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus was experiencing the agony of giving up what he wanted. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I said to Joshua, I don't think that Jesus did it for us. I think he did it for his father. It wasn't easy for him. It was a struggle. Jesus knew that he could trust his father because he knew his father's love. He knew his father would not fail him. His father had a far greater plan, which was to redeem all humanity. God had a greater plan for me and for my dad. The easy way was actually just take my dad home to heaven after he'd given his heart to Jesus in March. So last March, he gave his heart to the Lord, and his prognosis was that he probably wouldn't last past June. And so the easy thing would be, well, just take him home. We can go on our trip, and everyone's happy. He's in heaven. He doesn't suffer. And, you know, it's all yay, wonderful, perfect. But God showed me that his love is so deep, it's so unfailing, that it reached out to a stubborn 85-year-old man who had rejected God most of his life. But the Father heart of God will constantly love, even when rejected. This was a huge test for me to carry out the will of God from my heart to serve my dad, from whom I'd felt so much rejection. This amazing God wanted my dad to experience God's love by bringing his own daughter to nurse him and care for him in the last year of his life. I've got it together. He wanted to show my dad that God is not making us sit an exam or tick all the right boxes. He's patient and kind and unselfish. The last year of my dad's life was very poor in his physical body, but rich in God's love. God poured himself into my dad through Joshua and myself. And this is not to boast. It truly isn't. It's not to boast about what I've done. It's to show the length that God will go to. My dad's prognosis was that his life would end by June last year, but I believe God graced him with 9 more months to taste heaven before he actually went there. So what unfolded was a precious time as my relationship with my dad was totally healed. It was a beautiful thing. And I began to understand the depth and length that my Heavenly Father will go to show his unfailing love. And he wants to do that for each of you as well. He wants to just show you his unfailing love. He will go to great extremes to show it to you. And what I thought of at the time to be a great disappointment when we gave up the trip was actually the greatest gift of love I have ever been shown. Because I had left the close shore of being safe to the open harbour of surrender to God's intention and purpose. Like, you might be facing heartache and disappointment. You might be facing fear, uncertainty, abandonment, rejection. I don't know. I mean, each of you have your own cross that you bear. But in the middle of all of that, I just want you to know that God is with you and he will never fail you. His love is so unfailing, and he will go to great extremes to show that to you. Maybe we could have the team up. Is that all right? Thanks. I want you to know that the situation that you're in right now, that you're facing right now, it can actually be changed. And you think, well, how can that be? In that moment when I was down the beach and I was like resisting God and having a bit of a fight with God, in a moment when I I just think, well, God, you know, what do you want? And he said, will you do it for me? And that moment, my heart was transformed. And that's all it takes, is just one moment with him when you say, well, God, you know, what do you want? And he just can transform you and reveal his unfailing love to you and his father heart to you. And it's so extraordinary. You know, at the beginning of that journey, I actually said to God, I really want to understand what it means. What does it mean? God's love mean? Like, what is that? I don't know if I really understand that. And I don't think I fully understand. I think I've just been shown a glimpse, just a tiny window into God's heart. And I just pray that he would give you just a glimpse into his heart today. And over these next, you know, this next week, that you'll just get a glimpse into the Father heart of God and you'd really know his unfailing love. I'd like us all to stand, and I know we were singing a love song. I mean, all of them were love songs, weren't they? We could just sing, and if you would really like some prayer this morning, you know, we're available to minister to you. I know there's a special treat for the ladies and the women, and I suppose the guys get in on that afterwards, and to celebrate today. But if you would love to have some ministry, then please, you know, come to the front if you'd like to do that, or come and see us afterwards, that's fine as well. But let's just worship on the one who really loves us. Thank you.